to ask some questions because I know that you're a fan of sorts. So, yeah, I won't kick you out so much today. This will be historical.
Mm-hmm. I love how I just pushed the record button while you're still giving me the last seconds of prep.
Oh, thanks.
So this way the fans can really, really hear
wow.
how I get treated around here. That's exactly how that went too. They were like, oh.
Well, you can pause that and read the button.
Questions. It was already in there. There's no
you're
pulling it out.
You're supposed to tell
either.
Me before you hit record. Like, oh. Wow. You know, they say it's hard to find good help. And you are embodying hard to find good help right now. But that's okay.
No, no.
Because guess what? You got to deal with me after.
Yeah.
You got to deal with me after the show goes off, you see. So.
Yeah. The wrath of Amazon is nothing that one wants to contend with, let me tell you. Trust me, I know.
You should know. You're acting like you don't know is the thing. All right.
Oh, you know.
Thank God for editing. I know you can cut all this out. All this is getting edited.
Yes, you know what? I absolutely could do it.
And you shall. You shall.
Everybody, thank you guys for tuning in to some of our shenanigans. We're here for another episode of the Punkdemic Podcast. It's your man, 50 Grand, mic in his hand, MC Johnny T, a.k.a. you already know who. The great Big Flair. I'm joined by the queen of everything, the CEO, the hostess with the mostest, the one who says that I can talk today. You guys heard it straight out of her lungs yourselves. You heard her say it. Amazon, how are we doing? How are we feeling today?
The question is, how are you going to be feeling later on? That is the question.
You know, you ask me that question, it makes me sweat. And it's a cold day out here.
As you should.
Yes, yes. You have a, you know, on the date of our recording, because you know, we don't publish these on the exact day that we record these, but it's the 16th of November, and California is experiencing a weather event. That's right. Someone saying one time that it never rains in Southern California, that they didn't see the future that far into 2025 because, man, it is raining out here. I tell you what, I looked outside my window. I said, I saw a boat, baby. It had two of every animal on it, baby.
Oh, man. Old are we at Lark status?
Was saying, you want to hop on board the boat? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He said, you want to hop on board this boat, baby? I thought about it. I said, I don't know if I can do that because I don't know if I can broadcast the podcast tomorrow from the boat, baby.
So yeah, it's pretty bad.
I have risked my life to stay. What's going on over there in the mountain? You know, you have a different climate
in
the mountain area. You get actual snow. You actually get snow up there. What's happening over there right now?
Oh, I just want to clarify. Did you say you risked your life? You risked your life.
I did. I risked my life for the sake of the podcast to be here to record. I didn't get on that boat. Now, I read that story a long time ago, and I also seen the movie. Everyone that was on that boat made it. And everyone who didn't, well, never heard from again.
True.
But you know what?
True.
I'm here for the art. I'm here for the cause. Si se puede. Si se puede. There we go.
Well, so I'm super excited about today's guest. So I'm going to need you just to do your little intro that you do. And let's jump into it.
That intro. Please. The one where we introduce our listeners to an opportunity to purchase their very own Punkdemic merchandise. That's the one that we were talking about.
That's the one.
You know, we can go.
That's it.
Where you can get those seasonal savings for those holiday gift ideas. The Punkdemic mug for those of you guys who like coffee or tea or a nice cup of hot cocoa. Or if you're a weirdo like me and drink cold drinks out of a tea mug or coffee mug, it works the same way. Or you can get that stainless steel cup or those sweatshirts and hoodies and t-shirts and beanies and, well, anything that you can put a Punkdemic logo on some sort is probably sitting at punkdemic.com. So make sure you swing by the shop, get some stuff. For that overweight person in your life or for that person who's just a little curvier than the average, There's also a line of merchandise available from the creator of Pongdemic, Amazon. Comes Thickdemic by Amazon, which is also sitting in the Pongdemic.com website as well. So go ahead and represent those classy curves as you need to. If you or someone that you love is suffering or is blessed with those curves, you might be entitled to some type of compensation, but not financial. So make sure you go ahead and get you some of that stuff, some of that thick dimmick, that Merry Thickmas stuff, dancing around the Thickmas tree and all of that kind of good stuff and good cheer. It's going to be eggnog season in just a minute, folks. So go ahead and get that stuff right away. Now, without any further ado, we're going to bring in a man. No. A legend. Nope, let's check that. A myth. Mr. Unfunkwittable himself. Let me tell you something, baby. This man has got the funk, the whole funk, and nothing but the funk. So help me, Amazon. I want to make sure that it is clear, by the way, that Amazon is the one who is booking in these guests. I've said it before. I say it again. Bat in a thousand when we start talking about guest quality. You know, when you're in a growing phase of doing these podcasts and stuff, we have to find a balance of quantity and quality, because sometimes you can't come up consistently when you just can't get top tier guests like the one that we have here today. And I'm gonna tell you what, if you don't know him by name, I can tell you what, you know him by some of his work that's out there in the world. So I don't know, Amazon, I think it's time for me to just go ahead and push the button and bring in our guest right now.
Yes, please.
The man, 50 grand, the unstoppable, the incurable. I mean, straight from the mothership itself, prominent player for Parliament, Funkadelic, Ron Cat Spearman. There he is. Boom. How are we doing today?
I want to apologize.
How are we doing?
Here. How y'all doing?
I just, listen, it's okay to laugh. We do cut up quite a bit. By we, I mean Johnny Taylor. And so if he gets out of line, the signals just pull your ear and I'll tell him to kick rocks and he can go. Could you please behave today in front of this man? My goodness, Ron Cat, you're very handsome. I just had to throw that out there. My goodness. He's handsome. That's a good looking brother right there. I'm done. That was it. What'd you say?
I said you're very beautiful yourself.
Oh, thank you very much.
He's a heartthrob, you know?
He kind of is. Yeah, I'm a little taken aback. But let's focus.
You know, he's a heartthrob, but then so is Thick Flair over here. You know, what's it like for you to be sitting around all of this incredible, masculine, hot energy? What's that like for you, Amazon? We're going to interview you.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about him. I see you.
Oh, she blushed.
I don't blush. Okay, I'm blushing a little. Ron Cat, please don't.
All right, Ron, I will see you
don't
way out of
him.
Here.
Don't encourage him. Good day. Okay. I don't know if it's safe or not. Like, he just does whatever he wants to do. I don't know. So I figured I'd start backwards and go forward. Sure. How did it come to be that you were playing with Parliament and Funkadelic and George Clinton?
I met George through Maxi of the Mary Jane Girls.
Oh, and, how awesome is that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she introduced me, and me and we just became fast friends. We went to work immediately soon as we met, and we worked on a movie like within 2 days of us meeting, called The Breaks or something like that. And I was already cutting in my studio, and we invited him over, and he came over. George came over, and then the rest was history. Gary Scheider, Belita Woods, Paul Hill, and we all just got in the studio and just started making music.
Give me a time frame as for like when that was, or like what album that was that you were working
on. I'm not really quite sure when that movie came out, but I think it was at least... must have been at least like maybe 90, 99, something like that, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Because we went to Fiji for New Year's Eve.
Oh,
And we
wow.
did, yeah, we flew out there and we were on the international date line because George wanted to go out there. And so on the international date line, I guess you celebrate New Year's like three different times if you stand, or two different times if you stand on, depending
One
on what
side.
side of the line, you know. So we were out there doing that whole thing. And then we just continued to just, we were always recording, and he was always, you know, well, actually, Gary Scheider, they were like, you know, you need to come out and get on the road with us. You know, we got your suitcases on the bus. And I'm like, wait, I didn't pack any luggage, you know, like. And so that joke went on for a little while, and then the next thing I knew, I jumped on the road and just started, you know, just getting into it.
So how long did you do that? Like, how long were you on the road with George? Were you with George, yes?
Yeah, I was with George, Parliament Funkadelic. Yep, I was with them for like 12, 13 years tour. Yeah.
Now, how does one leave playing with George Clinton? And like, how did that go on? Like,
Well, they were really encouraging me to just, you know, really go out and just start pursuing things. And they would always tell me, he said, look, man, just go on out there and do your thing too, because, you know, once it's popping, we're going to join the band. We're going to join your band.
oh, is
And
that
that's
what they said?
exactly what, yeah, and that's exactly what happened. So, like, certain places I would play, like when I do the Boom Boom Room, they would all just come and jump on stage with me and perform with me.
Oh,
So
that's so awesome.
they were very encouraging, you know, to do that kind of stuff and just
How
continue on with the legacy.
were they to work with as far as professionalism? Like, were you guys clowning around and buddies, or were you very, very serious and professional? This is serious business. Like, how did you guys
It was a
vibe
com
as far as your?
it was a combination of everything you can imagine. Everything rock and roll, funk and roll, it was there. But their work ethic was really, it was a high standard, you know, because they're all like studied musicians, you know, like
Right.
Bernie Worrell went to Juilliard, you know. So it was a vast amount of, you know, funk education. And I brought my own funk with it too, which is something that I mean, they admired what I brought to the party because I was writing songs and stuff before I met them. Like, I wrote the song Don't Walk Away for Jade. So I had kind of like a little bit of success before I met them, but I always wanted to just be like an artist on my own. And I enjoy writing, I love writing and everything, but I always wanted to taste that bit of the road and just get that experience under my belt. So when I met them, it was like the perfect opportunity.
So, who influenced you to pick up the guitar? Was it a blues artist or a rock artist?
I think my dad, because I used to come in the room and he would have these strange tunings on his guitar, and he was left-handed.
Yeah,
And
like Jimmy. That's interesting.
at that time, I didn't know the difference, because I thought that everybody played that way. And so he handed me the guitar that way. And then I think he only showed me like one lick. And it was like a slide, like, and then from there I just kind of just always just improvised and wrote songs on my own. And so
How old were you when you started?
I think I was about maybe about 5 or 6.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I always had a guitar, always had a guitar, always had drums, always had some kind of musical instrument around. There was always musical, like music in the soundtrack, the backdrop of my life, like just instruments. Like, I remember waking up and seeing the neighbor from our apartment playing like this big giant bass fiddle, and I would hear it like boom,
Oh,
boom, boom, boom. And so that influenced me to play bass. And then I had an aunt that was always playing like Funkadelic records and stuff. you know, and just it was just like a lot of pop music around. So it was like just a combination of jazz, pop, and all kinds of stuff around. So in my head, I have a library of just all kinds of styles of music to be able to relate to any kind of thing. Like if I'm hired to do something, I can kind of, you know, get with the program of whatever, who's ever doing whatever. And then I love to add things to what people are doing. Like if they need me to sprinkle something, some funk or some
Hold
rock or
on. Do that again. You sprinkle it. You said
sprinkle it,
you said if
sprinkle
I need to sprinkle something on there.
it. Yeah,
I heard that. I like the sprinkle. That's me. So let's say you decide, okay, I'm gonna go out on my own and be a solo artist. What do you do next? Do you start touring? Do you cut a album? What do you do?
What I did was that was my main objective for even playing music. So I was never not gonna try to pursue that regardless to whatever, still, you know. And so what I basically started doing is just started studying. I do a lot of studying and paying attention to what's going on in the industry. And just I started making my own music and just started. I like to innovate and make different sounds, experiment with beats, programming drums, and doing all kinds of things. And then I just started putting together a band of, you know, just like some loyal cats that like to play. And then we just started hitting it, just start booking and just start playing. And then being on the road with P-Funk, I got like a lot of experience and a lot of lesson about like the ups and downs, the ins and outs of show business. And so that provided me with like a lot of opportunity to do different things, but I still had to go out and earn my own way, you know, doing it, because it just doesn't just come to you this like automatically, you know. And so and like I said before, they encouraged me to go and just kind of do my own thing, you know. Not it's so funny because I say that, and one time I left the band, and the guy Gary Scheider told me, he said, "What the hell did you what'd you quit the band for?" I said, I thought you said to go. I thought you
Huh.
said to go out and do your own thing." He said, "I didn't say quit the band."
I
Not
meant,
what I meant. So George called me up on the phone. He said, "Man, what you doing?" I said, "Well, Gary told me." He
He told me to go out on my own.
told me to go out on my own. He said, "Man, get your ass back. Get back out here, man. We getting ready to go to Europe, man. Get on back out here." And I had just wrote some music for this online video game, and I had made like a little killer little grip of money, and I was like, "Shoot, I'm digging this video game stuff. I ain't gotta go nowhere, you know.
What?
I ain't gotta go nowhere. I just sit up in the room and just, you know, make a bunch of loops and stuff." And the video game was called Tamale Loco. And it was like
What?
this new, it was a new company of some friends of mine, and they were making this video game, and so they were paying me to make the video games. And I was telling Pops, I was like, "Pop, I'm like, I'm, you know." He said, "Boy, get on out here, you know." So
Go play.
I collected cash, and then I jumped back on the road. But man, I had so much fun playing with P-Funk. I played with, like, we were around everybody, and Prince was on stage with us, D'Angelo sometimes, you know, Alicia
Wow.
Keys, Tommy Lee. I mean, it was like my wildest dream fulfilled, and just learning at the same time, you know, with Bootsy and all of that stuff, and just having conversations with them. It's just I really I feel blessed to have had that, you know, opportunity, and just be able to have witnessed some of the things, you know, traveling with them and stuff. And I'm just so excited now with all of that to some of my newer music stuff that I'm doing now, and you know how some of those things have influenced it, and I'm just ready to just unleash some of those things onto the world.
And this is like way out left field. Where did the cat come from in your name?
Well, I used to, I was always wearing these big like top hats that like really, really tall, and they bent and stuff like that. And then my brother, who's George's son, he, Tracy, would, came up to me and he said, "Man, you the cat in the hat." And then I just adopted that name, Ron Cat. You know, and at first it took a while because when you say it in a club, they say, "So what's your name?" And I say, "Ron Cat," and they say, "Rocket, Rocket."
Music, right.
It's a lot. You know, it's taken a while for people to kind of catch on to it. You know, because you got like Snoop Dogg, and then you got Ron Cat. You know, it's like it's a little different. You know, but
So as a musician that's been playing for quite a while, just from that experience with touring with P-Funk and everything, what is something like a lesson or a, like how did it change you? What did you learn from that experience that you took away from it from working with the people that you've worked with so far?
I learned there's so many things I learned. I don't think we got enough time for it, but just off the top, I just learned how to just respect every level of show business and every and just realize sometimes you know you have a window of opportunity to do things and that window opens and closes, and how you can never underestimate like they would, like sometimes there would be different musicians and writers and stuff that would come around, and you know how some people, like when they meet people, they'd be like, "I don't like him," disrespect him and everything, and then you come to find out that was the person that wrote that song that you love, that you grew up on, and you dissed him, you know, and now you found out who he was, you know. And you know how not to just always, you know, glamour into people that are like already, you know, famous and all of that stuff, because sometimes they can be the biggest jerks.
Yes.
And you're not, it's not your fault. It's really not their fault, because you don't know what they've been through in their life for them to be like that. But sometimes you run to them and you go, you see all this shiny stuff, and you go, "Oh man, what's happening?" And they dish you, you know what I mean? But right. I'm just saying all that to say that, like, I just try to show everybody respect, and I don't let this stuff go to my head. And the other thing I learned too is, like, I try to always practice what I'm doing and learn about what I'm doing, and not, you know, we get an ego flare up every once in a while. But you gotta be able to
bring it down.
You gotta bring it down and be able to back up what you ego tripping about, because if you don't, you can get slayed, you know, out there. And I just always try to show respect for the music and for the people that admire me for doing the music, and just always try to show love to life and respect. And it's just so many other different things, you know, that I just learned from them, and I'm still learning more things.
So let's talk about what you're doing now, because I listened to as much as I could find online and I was like, well, this brother can sing, first of all. I was like, wow, right? Your voice.
Thank you.
Have a great voice.
Thank you.
What are you working on now? What's your plans? Are we touring and recording new albums?
Right now, we're getting ready to I'm getting ready to release. I want to say a double album, but it probably won't be that. I'll probably just release them like consecutively. But excuse me, I'm working on finishing up my record, my new music. We got like a movie maybe we're doing. We've been talking about doing like this little movie thing, like an independent film. We are getting ready to do. We're doing New Year's Eve in Hawaii. What else are we doing? We have a show at this place called Bodhi Hive in Nevada City on December 13. We're doing, I can't think about Joshua Tree in May.
Yes, that's what is it called? I can't remember. It's not like Desert Fest. What is it called?
It's called the
Some
Joshua Tree. I'm not sure if it's called Desert Fest or
No,
just.
it's something to do with the desert, I thought.
Let me see. What's
This is definitely in the desert. I
it
don't
definitely
remember.
is in the desert. Let me see. Try to look it up real quick.
I'm looking too.
Yeah.
Didn't think of the name because I saw that. That's not too far from me, which is why I asked. What is it called?
Let me see. Man, sorry for this.
There it is. Wait. Oh yeah, this is called Joshua Tree Music Fest, May 14th. Woo, that's
Yeah,
a
this is
hot
what we
time to
do here
be
at
in
the Punk
Joshua
Family
Tree.
Podcast. We
Oh my God, Johnny Taylor,
bring you that up
hi.
to the minute research on the air. We bring you that
Oh.
research on the air because it is our responsibility to make sure that the listeners know what's happening. You had an opportunity to catch some behind the scenes in real time.
How
This
did you
is
get
how we
back in
do here
here?
at Punk Family. This is the
How did
point of difference.
I
This is what it
apologize.
is.
How'd you get back in here? It's like you just hi.
Hey,
What
baby, when
are we
you
doing?
the producer, baby, you get to push buttons, baby. And like how I'm pushing your buttons, girl, I'll be doing. I'll be pushing your
You
buttons,
always
baby.
push my buttons.
Pushing
I don't
all them.
appreciate your
What you do
attitude
around
today.
here, baby? What it is?
Hello.
Oh,
Okay. You see?
what
It's hard
it
to find good
is?
help. It is. And it's hard to get rid of them too when you want them to. Yeah. Did you have a question
It
for Ron Cat, Johnny?
tough. It's a tough. It's a cold world. It's a cold world. You know what? Hey, so, actually, I did. It's actually more of an observation. Check out some of your releases and stuff that you've done. For those who might not have checked out the Catitude EP, you might
I
as well go
did.
ahead and give that a listen. Which I don't know. I disagree with that being an EP. I think that's really an album. I honestly think That's
that
what
that's really more of an album. I know
all
that's
my
a
friends say.
semantic, but it does make a difference in on the. That it folds well like an album, just not just by the number of tracks, but just
Right.
the flow of it as well too. That one flows out very much like an
It
album,
does.
because you were mentioning you were getting ready to do maybe a double album. So I'm like, well, if he considers eight tracks that are fully loaded in EP, what do you consider a double album? I
Right.
mean, about how many tracks do you think would be if you were to release it as one body of work and not split it in different releases? How many tracks would you think that would be?
It gets kind of ridiculous for me because even with that so-called EP, I like redefine what EP is because I'm like going, here, put this on there. I'll put that on. And then next thing you know, it's like you got three, five extra tracks, and then my friends are like, man, this is not an EP, bro. This is an album. Same like what you're saying. So I think an EP, isn't it like
Well,
four or five songs? It's four or five.
is there an actual number, an exact number? What makes it an EP and what makes it?
I don't know.
Leave it to you, Johnny. Thank you, JT. You just, you know, out of all the questions. That's it.
Another observation. Okay. Uh-huh. But I felt like the Catitude EP/LP, we'll leave that out to the world to debate. Had different feels than the single Believer and definitely One World, which is the most recent release that I can find on you. Where do you feel like you're going from a lyricist standpoint in terms of your writing right now? Because Catitude had a feel, Believer as a single has a more evolved feel, and One World, especially looking in the world we're living in these days, also has a different feel. It shows a diverse range. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like as a writer, you have other messaging that you want to get out there? What would that be? You have to put a tagline on it.
Absolutely, yeah. I have another song called World Peace, which fits into the One World concept, but like you're saying, like with all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world, we definitely want to put a good message out there. And then I let my heart lead me with the music, since the music industry is pretty much changed, but there are still formats that, like, you know, you follow this pop format, you follow this. And it's just always been hard for me to stay in that, you know. I used to listen to Prince and stuff, and how diverse he was with the rock and fusion and different stuff like that. And that was always something that I could relate to, because I write about things that when I wake up in the morning, you know, I'm feeling happy, or I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling disgusted by certain things that I see that are going on in the world that need to change. And so I try to throw my hat in the ring and write about things I feel like that might spark someone else, or a child or an adult or something, that, or somebody that, you know, may help to make change, to make for a better world. So I just try to leave myself open to just trying to put the most positive messages out there. And sometimes they're just like songs that are just fun, and I'm just living life and just expressing myself as an artist. That's what I feel like that's my duty to do, is just be able to be free and just, you know, convey what I'm going through at the time.
I love that so much. I think you do that.
Are there any artists that are out here now that you would love to?
Oh yeah, like Tyler the Creator.
Are there any artists that are out here that you feel like you would like to create with? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tyler the Creator is one. Pharrell. Sting, Lady Gaga, Gorilla. My daughter plays Gorilla. I'm looking at my daughter going, like, you know, she plays the Fiji version of her stuff. There's so many of them that I feel like I can relate to. Like, I wish some of my hip-hop artists my favorite ones have passed on, but there are some that I still like to this day. That I wish I could have, like what I've been doing lately is just like, I'll put their music on and I'll solo, guitar solo. I make these videos, these little short videos, and I'll solo to their music, my favorite songs, some of them, and just post them. And just to show respect, like, I wouldn't mind working with Snoop. And we've done some stuff with Snoop before in P-Funk, and a lot of them I've worked with over the years, but there's so many different ones that I wouldn't mind working with, and I just remain open, you know, to, you know, getting in there with them and sprinkling a little funk on what they're doing.
I love this, the funk sprinkle. Like, that's my new look. If I steal that, don't get mad. I might start sprinkling stuff on people. They're gonna be like, what are you doing? I'll be like, I got that from Ron Cap. You know, you sometimes you gotta sprinkle it. But no, it sounds like you're super busy, like you're playing quite often. Mm-hmm. Any plans for this next year? Let's see, that one is in May, the one at Joshua Tree. Mm-hmm. And you said New Year's in Hawaii. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, that's going to be off the hook. Yeah.
What kind of a spot is it that you're going to perform at?
It's like a little tavern. It's like built halfway outside or something like that. I've never been there. It's on the Big Island. Blue Dragon Tavern or something like that. I think Norwood was just down there from Fishbone. He was down there. So he's going to be down there. And we're going to do a couple things down there with him.
But I had a blast when he came on. I had so much fun. He has too many types of fun, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Oh, man. He's going to come down. That's going to be, if I could be a fly on the wall and just listen to you guys, I swear. You'll probably make a comedy sitcom out of the conversations you fellas have sometimes.
That's the truth. Yeah.
I really enjoy that. But no, well, he kind of already asked you about like the messages you write with the purpose of, like, I want to get this message out, or is it just, this is how I'm feeling today?
I do. Sometimes I'm like, I sit on the message sometimes, you know, because I'm looking for the right time to drop it. And it's just sometimes it's just so many mysterious things that happen in show business to me sometimes, and just my level of just knowing what time it is with certain things. I try to be careful, you know, on how I approach it, how I word things, and how I say things a little bit. And but I try to get my message across as best I can, and hope that it might reach somebody or reach someone. But I do come with the intention of to try and make a difference, and make it just, because a lot of times we don't know who's interpreting our music and how, because right. Sometimes you might write something a certain way and somebody goes, hey, I know what you were meaning when you said that. And you're like, no, I wasn't meaning that. But if that's how you interpreted it, and it, you didn't hurt nobody, all good, you know. So, but sometimes we meet on the same track, and it's a direct hit, you know.
Are you a notebook writer, or do you type things into your phone?
I do that. I'll write on the wall, on my hand. I'll sing into, like, my phone is full of songs, concepts and ideas. It's just all day. Like, I might be in the middle of a conversation and my friends are going, man, I was trying to have a conversation with you. What's going on? You know, and I'm like, hold on, man. I gotta, you know.
Ideas just keep coming.
It doesn't leave me alone. It's like music just, it's not something that I can just, like, can't stop writing or making art. I can't, like, it won't give me a rest.
Like, I asked somebody else that, because they had, like, quit doing music for a little while. I didn't hear from them for a bit. And mm-hmm. then they popped up. And I was like, do you feel like music is something you just can't get away from no matter what you do? Because it's like that for me. I don't perform. I mm-hmm. have. And I can mm-hmm. sing and the whole night, like, but I don't want to be in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. But no matter where I go, what I do, bet $1 million, I'm going to meet a writer, some sort of musician. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. It mm-hmm. follows me. Like, I can't get away from music. I can't. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that way as well? Like, you just, it just comes out of you no matter what.
No matter what. I mean, I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, you know, and I'm writing, or I'll go play. It's always going on. And every once in a while I get moments of, you know, time where I can just chill, you know, but, and I have to take a break sometimes, you know, because sometimes I'll just keep keep going. Like I'm always in the studio, always making new music. Got tons and tons of beats and music, and just always trying to experiment with sound, and just always trying to make some kind of art and make some good music.
Do you do any other kind of, you said art? I know a lot of musicians also love art. Do you make any? Do you draw? Do you paint any of that?
I do some drawing. I was doing some painting. I want to get more into it. I'm really more into like visual art stuff. Like I get on my phone sometimes and I'll just like create layers of visual stuff and then I like adding effects to different things and making things really psychedelic and putting my music underneath it, like scoring, like little short video stuff like that. And I've been doing that a lot, just like taking things and just like freaking them out, making them funky.
Freaking them out and making them funky. Gonna use that too. That's ridiculous. You know that is, right? Ridiculous. Freaking them out and making them funky. Johnny, I'm saying it. That's gonna be my new line in every episode. Watch. You're gonna be like, copyright. No, but so you have some shows coming up. How do you balance your work, which would be your music? And like your regular life, because that's every artist I run into, they say that like it's so hard to balance that out and not just immerse themselves so much in what their art is that they ignore everybody else in the world and like or their family or like it's they find it really difficult to balance those things out. Like how do you check yourself and be like, okay, no, I gotta people today. I gotta go do this today.
The one thing I think I'm kind of good at is kind of balancing it, but sometimes it's kind of hard, like when you have kids and stuff like that, because sometimes it's really self-indulgent, music. It's sometimes people you don't like. Sometimes I spend a lot of times alone because I go into this thing. And because like I play a bunch of instruments, sometimes I don't always, it's not like I don't want other musicians to play, but sometimes it's just easier for me to get in the studio and get things done, and I can do the bass, the drums, the whole thing. And then I'll call certain musicians to come in and do certain things. But sometimes it's really, it's kind of self-indulging, and it leaves people out until you present it to them. And then it's like, oh, I see what you were doing. Oh, I understand, And then every once in a while, us as artists and musicians, I think you guys got to draw the line, like spend some time with,
Yes.
you have to do it because you're supposed to, balance things out. There's supposed to be balance in life, I think, to the degree that you feel that it is for you. But I think when you have a healthy balance, it makes for a healthier person mentally, and everything else, because sometimes we get so concentrated in this. Like sometimes you meet certain artists and they're crazy because they in the studio, they always in the studio, they don't go outside.
Yeah.
And still trying to trace, they just chasing them hits, they're trying to make a living, they're trying to do that, and that's all it is. And then
Yes.
it's like, you adding substances and you're going crazy because the business is crazy, and you ain't because you don't have balance, and we have to do that, we have to do it. And we're all subject to, like, nobody's perfect, but you gotta have balance, that's what really makes it funky. And sometimes when it's unbalanced, it's even funkier, but
True. And not in a good way. Funky in a bad way, you know.
But the more balance you can have, the better I think sometimes things can be,
No, I just
it's
I
not
learned
it's
that
not
from
always
having
easy though. It's not always easy.
no, from having friendships with musicians and, you know, yes, I've dated, they say don't date musicians. Well, that's what I'm around all the time. So, I mean, that's, you know, but the having the understanding that music will come before you, is a hard pill to swallow, and it's something that, but it's there. It's like,
It's a different kind of individual. It's different. Like artists, actors, you know, people in show business, they're not like, you know, you dating one of them, you know, I ain't trying to blow no bad vibes, but you know, it's like, it's a different thing. It's not like, you know, it's not, some of this stuff ain't normal.
It's, they're not normal. And I had to tell somebody, I'm like, they're not regular. They go, what do you mean? I go, no, they're still people. But the way they roll is not normal. Like,
yeah.
2 days in the studio, like all you had was coffee.
Right.
Okay. That's not what a normal person would do. They would get tired and go lay down. But I've just seen some things where I'm like, wow, you know, you need a break or you need to, some balance. Some balance.
Yeah.
Some balance.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey. Good question. What's the longest studio session that you think you've held, whether you were writing for someone else, producing for someone else, or a project that you were doing on your own?
Maybe a week. Like, there's been sessions where we've done like a week.
Wow.
Been on sessions like 2 or 3 days. Like, we might do like 3 or 4 days on a mix. It's just different, you know, these days the technology is a little bit more advanced, you know, but it just depends on the person and the producers and stuff, like how perfectionist they can be on certain things, you know. But it's kind of funny because I imagine somebody being such a perfectionist that they spend like a week in the studio and by the time they present it to you, their head explodes and they can't even appreciate it. You know, but I would say for me, like the most on a mix, like maybe 2 or 3 days on a song, you know, I've gotten it down to like maybe like a day and a half sometimes, because you're constantly listening back to what you mixing, you know, but you can go on forever with that. Like, it's like, oh, you need to take that out, put that in, no, turn that down, put that down, you know? And it just helps to have like a really great engineer, unless you know, pretty good engineer yourself, you know? But it helps to have the balance of that too. So, you know.
As a traditional musician, where do you feel, what is your feel or your position on the use of artificial intelligence, AI, in the music production or post-production process? Are we here for it? We're like, nah, I don't really know too much. I don't think that that's the thing, or.
I'm open to it to a degree, you know, because we're yet to see how it's developing, you know. It's kind of cheating a little bit, you know. But if you can use it as a tool, you know, it helps to jumpstart ideas, you know, with that. I don't personally use that, and I tried to just check it out to see how it works, because I didn't want to be speaking on something that I didn't experience, and it is constantly changing. But like, to me, it's just like, it's just not fun to me. Like, I love hearing it. And like, if you're going for hits and stuff, like, man, we can get this hit, we can do that. And just let AI just write the song. But like, at what point, like, how do you split that up? Does the AI company get a certain percentage of that? And then you get the other half, you know? Where do you, they still got to work out some little business with that, you know, because at some point, some of those companies are going to be like regulating, like, okay, we want our 75% because we know you used our software, you know, for the AI, you know what I mean? Like, and I think it can all work, but it's just like, Have you been hearing about, I'm sure you've been hearing about some of these AI artists that's going like number one or something like that, and people are
Yes.
discussing. And
AI bans.
we were just talking about that last night. Like, how do you you go to a concert? Are we going to be going to concerts, with a hologram, like, or AI artists? You going to see your favorite AI artist? Like, how does that? I don't think it'll ever really take the place of human, but they've been trying to replace us for years. They already steal the art form, and next thing you know is like rock and roll is not from where it originally or where it came from. Blues, it's all of that, like next thing you know, hip hop is not where it originally came from. It's like we have to really be careful on how we move, and because sometimes it's just the history gets, after a certain while, the kids grow up and they thinking like, wow, such and such made that. And their father going like, no, he didn't. Such and such wrote that song, So I don't know. I'm open to technology because it helps, but like there's always a point of it that it just gets, it gets kind of shady sometimes, and it becomes a thing where, people making money off of it, but it's just, it cheats people out of the real essence of a true human being, like singing a song to me. I don't, but I'm open to it though. I mean, to see where it goes.
No, I saw this reel. I think it was on Instagram, and it was like, look out for these bands because these 10 bands are not real people. And they went within like 2 or 3 days, they went viral. They're on like Spotify and all of this, have all the numbers, and they're not real bands. They're 100% AI. And people are following them and liking them and downloading them.
And
Crazy.
it's just so easy too for you to like go like, hey, we just made such and such, or are they faking the numbers? Are they faking it so that like what's really going on? Maybe it is, maybe they are really, because I know, like my daughters and stuff, like they listen to certain things. Like my one daughter, she listens to something. I know it's AI,
Wow.
but it's K-pop, some, I don't know if that's AI, but like, that stuff like that. And it sounds really kind of generically kind of whatever, but
I have a theory on this. I think that we're going to go backwards. Like historically, if you look at things, a community or a civilization will get super far and so advanced that they're more advanced. They're more advanced than themselves, right? They just take it too far. And I feel like musically, people are going to get tired of it and be like, no, you know what? We want to go see a damn band. We want to see some people. We want to go to a real show, hear some real music. So I think there's going to be, I don't want to use the term revolution, but there's going to be a point where people are like, you know what? I'm sick of this fake
I think
stuff. I want to see some real music. I want to see somebody pick up a guitar and play it.
you're right. I think as long as if they can put, like, when they're making that, just put AI at in the corner. This AI.
But they
This
don't.
is, and this is the real over here. Like, if you can do that and don't fake us out with it, then you can give me the choice as a consumer. Like, I'm gonna go listen to some AI music tonight,
Right.
or I'm going to listen to the real stuff tomorrow night. Like, if I can have the choice as opposed to you slipping that in under me, then it's healthier. You know what I mean? And that way you can keep that over there, and we can keep this over here.
Right, but
And
they're not doing that.
it'll just be, like a give somebody a choice to decide for themselves, like if you want to be, if you want that,
Yeah, it's an interesting time we're living in for sure. So what is up with you? What is the future of Roncat? What are your plans? What are you doing?
I'm just trying to make the best music I can make. I'm working on a musical too, and there's an independent film we're trying to do, and
A musical?
Yeah, I'm working on a musical. I've been working on it for like some
Oh,
years now. I got all the music to it and everything. And we're talking to some people to put it together. It's gonna be really funky. And so it's called Lust in Space.
not lost in space.
No, not lost.
Love it. I love it. That's a
Oh yeah.
but
Lust, did
lost in
somebody say
space.
lust?
Oh Lord. Again, I apologize, wrong cat. Listen, please behave. I like this one. Could you stop? Could you? Oh Lord. You done put the glasses on now. I don't know. What is it, Johnny Taylor? What? He's gonna say something smart. See, I know him.
Well, you
It's
know,
coming.
it's a time that I don't nope. I was just gonna say it's that time where we have to wrap it up because the clock is ticking at this point in time. And so, Ron Cat, let the people know how they can connect with you, where they connect with you, which social media platform people join your movement, how can people support you.
Yeah, you can go to roncatspearman.com to get all the info. That's the website. And Ron Cat Spearman, with a K, cat with a K. We spell cat with a K. On Instagram, it's Ron Cat Spearman. And then my website is where you can get all the info, the Facebook stuff. All my links are on roncatspearman.com. And the tour dates and all the stuff we're doing, the merch and everything like that. And you can say what's up, send me a, DM me or something and say what's happening. And I mean, that's basically it.
I'm looking. I can tell when he's doing his producer thing. He gets
All right,
his
folks,
look on his face.
roncatspearman.com. 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 Yes. You know, our weather here, we're on a cloud-based server for our software. And so we've got interesting weather and we've got some interesting glitches that are happening over here as well, too. So
I
I want
knew
to
it.
make sure that everyone did catch roncatspearman.com, him through his website, and support this brother. Get some of the merch, get some of the whatever he's got on that website. Just go ahead and get it. Open up your heart and wallet, or open up your wallet then your heart. I don't know.
The one and the same.
Just open up
Right?
and put some money in this man's pocket. This man is the real deal, and it's great him on the pots for today. So I'm going to close with my thought that I always end with. No, Amazon, I'm not going to hit them with it. Remember, at the end of the day, it's tight. I'm not going to hit them with that one because I know
Thank
how much you
goodness.
dislike that one. But I will end with this one as we prepare to sign off for today's episode. Again, thank you, Podcast Experiment, for
Thank you for having me.
Hey, I want to feel like that was just a glitch through the internet. That's what I'm like, if that's what that was. But thanks for being here, Ron Casperman. It's been a pleasure
Thanks,
having
man.
you on the show. And everyone out there that's listening, remember this much: it is important to be kind to your mind and each other. Until next time, we'll see you later. Keep it, hey, baby. We're out of here last year.
Aww.